Hope for the hopeless. A loss of hope can occur slowly because of the hardships of life. Different things that we encounter can knock the steam out of you, can bring you to a place where you feel that your boat is being scuttled and you've got so much water in the boat, you can't cope. So these things can happen slowly, but they can also, loss of hope can also happen suddenly. It happens suddenly when you encounter a dramatic change, a devastating change. Maybe someone dies, someone close to you dies. If you die, there's no loss of hope because you go on to be with the Lord. But the people who stay behind, we have perhaps a loss of hope. Perhaps an onset of a terminal illness. Maybe some radical accident that occurs, bankruptcy, loss of a job, perhaps rape. You know, I mean, these things happen, all right? These things happen. And then there's the sense of, I can never get out of it. The loss of hope, I can never get out of the situation. But I want to assure you, over the next few weeks, I'm going to take my time with you. I'm not going to rush the series. I really want to build in you an understanding that no matter what the circumstances are that you're facing, God has an answer for you. Amen. Unfortunately, part of the loss of hope is when we start to think that even God can't help us. Now, you know, the loss of hope is actually a decision that is made. I love this post that Pastor Cindy put up on Facebook. She said, disappointments are inevitable. Discouragement is a choice. See, discouragement is the door to depression. If you allow yourself to get discouraged, you can also allow yourself to get to a depressed state. And either sitting here this morning or listening to me on the videos that are played, you might be struggling to hear me above the noise of your pain. The words of encouragement that I'm trying to give you might be bouncing off the wall of torment of your thoughts. Perhaps you can't see the light because of the darkness that's in your mind. So I have been praying, and I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit is going to give me words of life that will bring healing and hope to you. If you're struggling with hopelessness, with despair and depression. The first scripture I want to give you is found in Proverbs 13 and verse 12. It says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. The word deferred is simply delayed. And when we are praying for something or we're in a situation and there is no change, the answer is delayed. What begins to happen when you can't see a solution, there's no solution that comes to you, loss of hope begins and depression. Now listen carefully. According to this scripture, you see, loss of hope and depression is a sickness of the soul and the spirit, the very heart of the person. Their mind and their spirit gets a sickness called hopelessness. And it comes about because your situation doesn't seem to change. The problems are too big, and you've prayed, and you can't get an answer. So I'm talking to you, or should I say, the Holy Spirit is talking to you this morning. God loves you. I love you. Jesus loves you. So let me explain to you, let me explain the importance of hope and why the Holy Spirit wants to bring you back to a place of joy and of faith and of a love for life. Because when you've lost hope, you also lose a love of life. See, hope gives people the ability to endure tremendous hardships. If only you know that there's going to be an end to this, you can stay the distance. If you know that the pain is going to stop, you can press through and hold on. That's why when I go to the dentist, I always ask the dentist to please tell me how far along he or she is. How much more, doc? Tell me. Keep me informed. Don't ask me questions because I can't talk with the stuff in my mouth, but you can. Tell me how I'm doing and tell me how much more to go. All right? Even though I've got the shots in the back. After the first injection, I say, how much more? How important? How important is hope? Well, 1 Corinthians 13, easy to remember, it's the love chapter in the Bible, says this, now there are three things that remain, faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. That's true, the greatest is love. God is love. God has faith, but God is love. But the greatest of these is love. So, but hope is mentioned amongst the big three. Why would God put hope amongst the big three? Because you see, it is a major importance to us as children of God. Hope is critical because without hope, you cannot exercise faith. And faith is what pleases God. Faith is what gets you saved. Faith is what you get to, what causes you to receive from God. God's grace gives you everything freely, but faith receives what God's grace given you. But without hope, there's no energy to your faith. Let me explain how this thing works. Let me give you a scripture. Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the confidence that we have hope. Sorry. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. So faith needs hope to work. Hope concerns your future. Notice it says here things that will happen in the future. So faith is the confidence that what we are hoping for will happen. But if I'm not hoping for anything, faith has nothing to work on. Faith can't give you assurance that things are going to change if you're believing they're not. If you're in a situation of hopelessness, your faith is lost. They're connected together. They're power twins. They're connected together. You can't separate one from the other. You have to have hope in order for your faith to work. Hope, you see, is a confident expectation of something good. You don't hope for something bad. Nobody hopes for something bad unless it's for somebody else. So, a loss, hope is the loss of the expectation of something good. You're no longer expecting something. So what hope really is fear of the future. Because hope is all about the future, if you're fearing a bad outcome, you're in a situation of a loss of hope. You're afraid of your future. Some people end up in bed because they can't get out because they're so afraid of the future. What it is, it's a belief that you have no remedy for your current situation. And this is why people turn to alcohol and turn to drugs and things like that, because when they are intoxicated, it numbs the emotion. It numbs the pain that they're feeling until they get sober. And when they get sober again, they have to take more drugs because they can't tolerate life without hope. It's too painful for them. So when you lose your hope, you actually lose heart and you lose the will to live. Hope is deadly. Hope is a killer. I mean, the loss of hope is deadly and the loss of hope is a killer. I'm going to tell you a story about a couple that was in our church in South Africa. Willem and Esme, South African Afrikaans people, they were married 45 years. They were childhood sweethearts. And they got married. Willem worked on the mine, and she stayed home to take care of the family. They began attending our church. In fact, they were in our church for 5 years. They got saved, gave their life to the Lord, got baptized in water, got baptized with the Holy Spirit. They both became ushers and deacons in the church. And he was so faithful that he was actually promoted to head deacon. He was the head usher. And, you know, every night before they went to sleep, Esme would get up, go to the kitchen, and make him some sandwiches. She didn't have to get up. She would go to the kitchen and make him some sandwiches for the next morning because he would leave at 4 o'clock. The mine always started really early, and he would go. But what she would do is she would get up in the morning. She would also hang out his clothes, everything he was going to wear. And then she'd get up at 4 o'clock to kiss him goodbye. 45 years of that will get to you. Well, she unexpectedly became sick, and in a week's time, she was dead. And he continued coming to church, obviously, and performing his duties. But one Sunday morning, exactly 30 days after we buried her, he dropped dead in church. No apparent reason. I would say a loss of hope. I would say his heart broke and he couldn't live without her. That's what I would say happened. So how can I get back to hope, Pastor? How can I get back to faith? 2 Corinthians 4 and 16 says this. Therefore, we do not lose heart. We do not lose heart. He's saying, the Apostle Paul is saying, we don't lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing. And the longer you live, you'll find that your outward man is perishing. All right? Things start to go south. All right? Your fat cells start to hang out together. You start a cell ministry and stuff like that, you know. What was that you said? Just kidding. The outward man is perishing, but Paul says even though the outward man is perishing, we don't lose heart because the inward man is being renewed day by day. You see, the inward man has eternal life in it. And he says in the light of fiction that we're going through, and boy, what he was going through was no way light of fiction. He said, but it is for the moment. And really, if you compare 70, 80, or 90 years against eternity, it is a moment. This life is like a vapor. Boy, we're like a flower in the field. It doesn't take long. I look back and I can't believe how much we've accomplished and what we've done in our life, but how fast it's going. And it seems like the closer I'm getting to the end of the line, the faster this thing is going. And it's a remarkable thing, but our life goes past very quickly. But he says, you don't want to focus on the outward things that are, you know, that are decaying and stuff like that. Focus on the inward thing. He said, it is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Verse 18, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now that word temporary means subject to change. And he says we don't look at what is not seen. Sorry, we don't look at what is seen, we look at what is not seen. It's like the glass half full. We all know that story. Is the glass half empty or is it half full? And it depends on what you're focusing on. It does depend on your perspective. It does depend on where you're allowing your thoughts to go. Because you can look at the empty part and you can miss the part that you've been blessed with. Because you see, there's an old song we used to sing, Count Your Blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you to find out what the Lord has done. And you know, sometimes we need to do that. When our now becomes intolerable and we start complaining because maybe we aren't seeing prayers answered, just sit down and count your blessings and look what's happened in the last 10 years. You know, Jack and I did it this week. We sat down and we just looked at where our church is because we heard that this new church had come to a stall, you know, and we were so looking forward to the new church. And we sat down and we said, you know what, just look what God has done in the last 10 years. It's been slow, but it's been effective, and we've made impact, and we thank God for all the people that have come through the promise and what's occurred in our life and all the people that have got saved and healed and spirit-filled. And, you know, I wouldn't change that for the world. I wouldn't. But, you know, it's easy to start looking at we didn't get the building versus look at what we have got. And in all of our lives, you could do that. You could look at what you have got and say, you know what, this is what God has done for me. And not focus on what hasn't happened or what you think the devil has stolen from you. Because you see this, he said, the things that we see are temporary. They're subject to change. They're not going to stay the same. They're changing all the time. And this is one thing that is certain, change is here to stay. And we need to get ready for that, get used to that, all right? So what you're focusing on will make a difference. Well, what am I talking about is literally what you're thinking about. Are you thinking about the problem or are you thinking about a solution? You can't get out of the loss of hope. You can't get out of the loss of hope if you continue to think about the problems that you're facing and what the future, how bleak the future is. You can only turn that around if you begin to think God is faithful. Like we sang today, we thank God for his faithfulness that he's never failed us yet. Amen. He's moved the mountain and he can do it again. And he plans to do it again. Amen. So we begin to think about God can rather than there's no way out. I can't get around of this. God, I believe with all my heart, is talking to those today who are in this predicament. He loves you and he's giving you a choice. He's giving you an option. To either continue living in your current situation without hope because of regret or because of a loss or fear of the future. And I use that word glibly, living, because maybe you're not even living. Maybe you're just surviving. From day to day, night to night, you're just surviving. You can continue that, or you could be willing to pray and take a chance and say, God, help me to believe again. Help me to hope again. Help me, Lord, for a better tomorrow. I'm sure you know the story, but I love it so much. It's the story of the Chilean miners. You'll remember on the 5th of August, 2010, the main ramp in the San Jose mine in Atacama collapsed. This is northern Chile. And it collapsed, trapping 33 miners, listen, 2,300 feet underground. There was no way they could get to these miners. They were down underground. Obviously, it looked like all hope was lost. And you know what they began to do? They began to drill from the surface to try and get down the 2,000 feet. And they didn't know where the miners were. They couldn't communicate. There was no communication. And they began to drill just a small hole, 2 to 4 inches in diameter, to try 2,300 feet to get it. It took them 17 days. Well, who can survive without water or food for 17 days? When they got down to these miners, they found them. And, you know, they passed down, the next day they passed down some water and some food to them. But it was 24 days before those miners could communicate with their loved ones, and they were given 20 seconds each to talk. What would you have said? What would you have said to a loved one on the surface? Or what would you have said to a loved one underground who you knew was going to die? There was no way. Nobody has ever been rescued from a situation like this. You knew they were going to die. You had 20 seconds. If only we could live with that perspective daily and treat our loved ones as if this is the last time we're going to see them. You say, well, that doesn't look like hope for the future. No, but it means living now. It means living now and not living in a mistake. Well, nevertheless, they were able to speak. It was 39 days they'd been down there when Elizabeth Segovia, a wife of one of the trapped miners, gave birth to the little girl. And she called and named the little girl Esperanza. Spanish-speaking people, tell the rest of us what that means. Louder. Everybody say hope. She named her child Hope. Say Esperanza. One more time. I think I'll give myself a second name. I love that. October the 13th, 68 days to be precise, after this event, the last miner was rescued. Not one single miner died. It is the only one in history where that happened. At that depth, the only one. And you know that they were brought through a hole 28 inches in diameter. That's all. There was a capsule that one person at a time would fit into. And this capsule was painted, I believe it was red, white, and blue, the colors of the Chilean flag. It was red and white and blue. And I don't know how they drew straws to who goes first, but can you imagine the last person down there by himself, waiting for the capsule to come back and hoping that it's going to return for him? Now, you know what? There was a Christian miner down there with him, and he had his New Testament with him. And he read the Bible to them, and he prayed with them, and every single one of them received Jesus Christ. I'm not surprised. And they would sing hymns, and they would worship God, and he encouraged them to believe. And you know what? It was not only the hope of those miners and their trust in God that got them out, but it was the hope of those on top that were believing for their rescue. People, I don't know of a worse situation that you could be in than that. And if they could believe, so can we. Amen. Everybody say Esperanza. Esperanza. Amen. Amen. So, I want to encourage you to hope in God, the God of hope. I'd like the band to come up, please. In Romans 15 and verse 13, the Bible says, may the God of hope, say God of hope. God of hope. May the God of hope, isn't it an amazing name, the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. Now notice this, the joy and peace doesn't come until we trust in him. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. We have got to get to that place of trusting God again before we can expect the joy and peace. And for those who have lost hope, unfortunately, you're waiting to feel better before you act better. You're waiting to feel better, have better emotions before you start praying again. You may even be wrestling with, it's God's fault. Why hasn't he done something for me? We'll talk about that in the second service. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that, you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Notice this. God wants you overflowing with hope. He doesn't want you hopeless. Because if you're trusting in the God of hope, it's an oxymoron to say I'm hopeless. Do you understand? It is impossible to say I'm trusting in the God of hope and yet to say I'm hopeless. Not one of us. Not one of us. Irrespective of how bad our circumstances, if we know God is for us and God's word is true, not one of us can make that statement, I'm hopeless. And yes, the devil tries to get us to believe we're hopeless and there's no help. This is God's plan for you. This verse is God's plan for you. But you have to decide, am I going to trust him? Defeat comes from looking back at regret. Discouragement comes from looking around. Sorry, distraction. Distraction comes from looking around. Discouragement comes from looking down. But deliverance comes from looking up.